Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, did President Trump lead in an insurrection on January the 6th, 2021? Was he responsible for what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Select Committee on January the 6th are calling an insurrection? We have as our special guest today, Mike Hill. Mike Hill, Congressman Hill, is the former representative of District 1 in the state of Florida. We're delighted to have you with us, Congressman. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Congressman, just before the top of the hour news, we touched on the fact that Mike Lindell sues Nancy Pelosi for her vengeful committee. He's calling it the vengeful committee of subpoenaing his phone records. It says here, Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, and an ally of former President Donald J. Trump, has filed a lawsuit against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and members of the January 6th committee to stop them from acquiring his phone records. Politico reported Wednesday that the House Select Committee investigating January 6th had issued a subpoena for all of Lindell's records. In response, Lindell filed suit against the committee, Pelosi, Verizon, to stop the carrier from turning over the information. He says, and I quote, I wasn't even there on January the 6th. And yes, they did subpoena my records, my phone records, but we filed a complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief against the January 6th committee and against Verizon to completely invalidate this corrupt subpoena. And it goes on to talk about how the subpoenas are violating the rights of those that were even there, much less those that were not. He says, enforcing this subpoena would violate my rights of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, political expression, and to associate with others to advance their shared beliefs. And he goes into detail about the lawsuit and what is taking place with it. Congressman, there were hundreds of thousands of people there on January the 6th. I understand that they've even subpoenaed charge card records for everybody that was there on or around the Capitol, not in the Capitol, not in the so-called riots, but there at the Capitol for the rally of President Trump. Everybody that was there on January the 5th and January the 6th, they've subpoenaed the charge card records from most all of the charge card companies. I find that egregious that American citizens, because of where you may be on a certain date or time, and because of certain things that may be taking place, all of a sudden you're brought into the dragnet as being viewed as the potentiality of guilty, trying to find guilt rather than trying to determine what really happened on that date. How do you respond to that, and what do you think we should do as citizens?
So, Dr. Youngblood, at the beginning of your show and your monologue, you asked the question, should Christians even be concerned with this January 6th committee? Should Christians be concerned with what is happening right now with this sham committee? And the answer is absolutely yes, because you are directly involved. What this committee is doing, what the oligarchy in Washington, D.C. is doing right now, is not simply to stop President Trump, not simply to stop President Trump and those who voted for him and thought that he won the election. Their intent is to stop conservatism. Their intent is to stop free market capitalism. That is what they are attacking. And that is why we as Christians should be concerned and we should be involved in denouncing this sham committee that has been put together. You know, at the outset of the committee's formation, its chairman, Benny Thompson, who, by the way, is a communist sympathizer.
Yes.
As I understand it, he actually went to Cuba one time, visited Castro. So this communist sympathizer, Benny Thompson, sent letters. This is why we should be concerned, Dr. Youngblood. He sent letters to 35 telecom, email, and social media companies instructing them to preserve call details, text messages, location records, and the content of posts for a list of individuals, which reportedly include members of Congress, members of the Trump family, and a host of regular Americans who may have been otherwise involved in what it is not clear. But he sent that records request, which is supposedly related to the events of January 6th, but for some reason goes all the way back to April 2020. Mm. And he won't tell anyone who is on that list, who they are requesting information from. That is why we should be concerned and involved in this entire thing that is going on, because what they are trying to do is not only stamp out President Trump, they're trying to prevent him from running again. They are scared to death of him running again because they know he would likely win, especially now that we know they would cheat. And so we are aware of that and cognizant of it and will be on the lookout for it, for their cheating. And so they believe it won't be as they won't be as easily done the next time, and Trump could likely win. So they're trying to push Trump aside because they're trying to push conservatism aside. And I will say this, they are trying to push the Christian faith aside.
Absolutely.
Because Christianity and an oligarchy do not go together.
That's exactly right. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article. Constitutional expert, public rejecting Democrats' insurrection storyline, dated January the 7th, 2022. Democrats for the last year, mostly have been unanimous in describing the protest turned riot as the Capitol last January 6th as insurrection. They explained it was nothing less than organized conspiracy to take over and control our U.S. government. That's critical to the leftist in the party, as members hope by describing it that way, they will eventually can convince the public and those loosely connected, such as President Trump, that he can be called an insurrectionist. That would allow them to call a Civil War era provision that forbids those who participated in an insurrection from holding office. You addressed that very clearly just a moment ago. The hope will prevent what obviously has become one of their worst nightmares, Trump re-election in 2024. But constitutional expert Jonathan Turley, in his online column, says they've already lost, speaking of the Dems. Listen to what Turley says. In the day-long events commemorating January the 6th, Speaker Nancy Pelosi made a telling statement to her fellow members and to the public at large. Pelosi declared, quote, "It's essential that we preserve the narrative of insurrection of the January 6th," end quote. And he goes on to say, part of that narrative is that this was not a riot, but an insurrection, an actual rebellion against our country, end quote. Then, quote, Pelosi's concern over the viability of that narrative is well-based, as shown by a recent CBS News poll. The majority of the public does not believe that this was an insurrection at all, despite the mantra-like repetition of members of Congress and all of the media. The public saw that terrible day unfold a year ago and saw it for what it was, a protest that became a riot. While reporters and commentators refer to the insurrection as fact, Americans do not consider it to be an insurrection act at all, end quote. So, Congressman, what I see Jonathan Turley, the constitutionalist attorney, saying is that it is the mantra from the very beginning that Nancy Pelosi is basically, as my mother used to call it, let the cat out of the bag, that Nancy Pelosi has already stated in interviews that we must maintain that mantra. We must maintain the narrative of calling it an insurrection. Doing that, trying to make the general public feel that it was indeed an insurrection and to therefore turn their backs on the potential of reelecting President Donald J. Trump. And Congressman Hill, one other thing that I'll say, and then I'll turn you loose and let you respond. Looking at a headline that says, Capital Murder, Ashley Babbitt. If a thief is caught in the act of breaking into a house and is struck and killed in the process, the person who killed the thief is not guilty of murder. But if it happens in daylight, the one who killed the thief is guilty of murder. On January the 6th, 2020, the shot heard around the world was of the U.S. Capitol police officer, identity unknown at the time of the release to the general public, who fired a single shot, killing election protester Ashley Babbitt in broad daylight. Lieutenant Michael Byrd, the now identified gunman, justified his shooting of Babbitt in a recent interview for NBC News. Quote, this is coming now from a Capitol police officer, Lieutenant Michael Brown, or Byrd. I know that day I saved countless lives, Byrd said. I know members of Congress, as well as my fellow officers and staff, were in jeopardy and in serious danger. And that's my job, to protect them. Byrd said he did not know whether the person he shot was carrying a weapon or not. He says he later found out that the person he shot was a woman who was unarmed. Quote, Byrd is saying, it's all disheartening because I know I was doing my job. Byrd said again, I believe I showed the utmost courage on January the 6th, and it's time for me to do that now. Quote, she was posing a threat to the United States representatives, according to Byrd in his NBC interview. The Department of Justice did not pursue criminal charges against Byrd, and the U.S. Capitol Police Department said it would not discipline Byrd and cleared him of any wrongdoing. Now, Congressman, here's my question. I've read sheaves of articles about Michael Byrd, the police officer. He was never interviewed. Listen, he was never officially interviewed by any law enforcement, FBI, CIA, Capitol Police, or Nancy Pelosi, or the January the 6th committee. Never interviewed, but summarily stated that he had done his job and he was not guilty of murder. How do you respond to that, and yet it's coming from those that's supposed to be wanting to find the truth about January the 6th?
Well, it's obvious that what they were trying to do by allowing Michael Byrd to murder this young lady is because they want to try and frame it as an insurrection. They want to try and frame it as a violent overthrow of the government. And the only one who showed that violence with a weapon was Michael Byrd. And he said that she posed a threat. Here's my question to him. Why was she the only one who was posing a threat? Why did you shoot her?
Yes.
But why not other people around her? And the fact is that after you shot her, from some videos I've seen, it wasn't like people screamed and scattered and ran away. Instead, there more people came, and they were around her, and they were trying to assist her and so forth. But he didn't shoot anyone else. So his defense saying that he acted in a courageous way, I would call him a coward. There was no need at all for you to shoot that woman who was unarmed, whether you thought she was unarmed or not. Dr. Youngblood, we have people who will go and riot in the streets when a white police officer will justifiably shoot an armed black person who is attacking them and is coming at them with a weapon. The police will shoot and kill them. And then we have riots in the streets. You read just before I started speaking that the person who has done an investigation, this legal person, was saying that It was not an insurrection, but it was a riot. I wouldn't even call it a riot. It was a bunch of people who had gotten together. They were protesting. I will call it a protest. I wouldn't call it a riot. A riot is when you things get out of hand, that there is a damage done to buildings, that people are injured and killed. That is not what happened in this case. There were a number of people who did things that they should not have, such as when you saw them climbing a building and climbing up on walls. I mean, that was just stupid. And yes, when you see people trying to break glass, you know, these were not kids. These were grown people. You know, what are you doing? And I've seen videos, Dr. Youngblood, of people trying to stop them from doing that, saying, look, you guys, don't do that. Stop. Those are true Trump supporters. But there were FBI informants, Antifa instigators who were in there, who were encouraging to go on so that they can use this lie of calling it an insurrection and trying to blame it on Donald Trump, blame it on conservatives, and blame it on Christians.
Absolutely. One of the things, Congressman Hill, that is causing consternation in my mind is the fact that there's video footage out there that's in the public domain that two large buses pull up. Antifa and BLM folks are on those buses. The Capitol Police remove the barricades, motion for them, and give them instructions and directions for backing up the buses, unloading the buses, and then opening, here's the Capitol Police, opening the Capitol doors, inviting them to come on in. Now, that should tell us something about the modus operandi that's taking place and the desired purpose by letting them in and then saying that there is a insurrection, and then this Capitol Police officer being brazen enough to shoot an unarmed 32-year-old woman that was a military veteran and shot her. That was the only death on Capitol Hill that day. And yet we find the Capitol Police, Nancy Pelosi, the D.C. police, all having been put on notification by President Donald J. Trump 2 days before his speech, his rally. 2 days before that, he suggested that because of the number that would be present, it would be wise to have the National Guard there to secure the perimeter to make sure that everything was peaceful. Congressman Hill, my question to you, what in your opinion caused Nancy Pelosi, the D.C. police, and the Capitol Police to summarily reject the offer of National Guardsmen to make sure that nothing could happen that would be forward or difficult?
Dr. Youngblood, I think the answer to that is obvious, that Nancy Pelosi wanted it to appear like it was an insurrection. And that is why, as you said just a little while ago, she wants to continue with that narrative of calling it an insurrection, because they want to try and pin that on President Trump, that he instigated an insurrection, which is illegal, of course. So she refused to do the to have the federal troops there to protect them, because she wanted chaos. She wanted to turn into a riot. She wanted an insurrection. That was obvious. So now she puts together this sham January 6th committee, who are investigating everyone except for who they should be investigating. They should be investigating Nancy Pelosi. They should be investigating the Capitol Police to find out exactly what was going on. There were reports that Nancy Pelosi's laptop was taken on that day. We've never heard anything about what was found on that laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that being investigated? And I would venture to say that if you did examine it, you would see evidence of her wanting to create an insurrection and to continue that false narrative, that blatant lie. That's what it is, Dr. Youngblood. We see so much from those on the left that they seem to have no moral compass at all. They seem to have refrain from lying, just blatantly lying. We see it with Adam Schiff. We see it with Nancy Pelosi, with Chuck Schumer, with AOC, and all of them seems like they have no concern at all, no conscience to not lie. They will lie blatantly. And as you see, they will continue to lie. This January 6th committee is nothing more than a continuation of the lie. They should be investigating Nancy Pelosi.
And Congressman Hill, you touched on it earlier, or our caller did, the name Ray Epps. I'm looking at a major article that says, and it's a 15-page article, Meet Ray Epps. Damning new details emerge exposing massive web of unindicted operators at the heart of January 6th. And the article goes into great detail of what happened with Ray Epps. And the truth is, out in the marketplace, that Ray Epps is a operative, one of the operatives of the FBI, that was there for the very purpose of promulgating, promoting, pushing, and instigating the things that took place within the Capitol on January the 6th. I'm looking at an article that says, who is Ray Epps? DOJ won't even say. The top federal law enforcement officials have declined to answer numerous questions about Ray Epps, the Arizona resident captured on video encouraging the January 6th protesters to breach the Capitol, to breach Capitol Hill. Controversy has surrounded Epps in recent months due to questions about the possible connection to law enforcement, despite the video evidence making repeated calls for action. Epps has not been charged in the in relationship to the January 6th riots, and his photo has been removed from the government's list of most wanted people from that event. The Democratic-led House committee investigating January the 6th on January the 11th made the statement, and their interview said they had not interviewed Epps and that Epps denied having any connection to law enforcement. But a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing earlier that day, Senator Ted Cruz, here's where I'm headed, Senator Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton were unsuccessful in obtaining any answers at all from the feds about Epps. Cruz asked the FBI Assistant Director for National Security, Jill Sanborn, 10 questions about Epps and other potential undercover feds that were involved in the Capitol riots on that day, none of which received any substantial answers. Sanborn admitted that she's aware of Epps, but said she doesn't have any specific background on him. When Cruz asked whether Epps worked for the FBI, Sanborn declined to answer and said, I cannot answer that question. Likewise, when Cruz asked about whether federal informants participated in the riots, encouraged the riots, or were in any way involved in removing of the barricades, she said, and I quote, I cannot answer that. And it goes on and on and on for minute after minute after minute in that interview. And the federal government refuses to answer their connection with Ray Epps, whether or not he was an informant, whether or not he was a plant, whether or not he was there instigating, leading, and promulgating the riots. And yet in the video footage that's released to the public, we find that he, in no less than 8 or 10 clips that I've seen on that, he was motivating, promulgating, prompting, and encouraging and challenging. He was the first one in the building, the Capitol building, encouraging others to come in. How do you respond to that, and yet we're told, we're supposed to believe as common little old citizens in America that we can't believe our lying eyes?
That's right. It's apparent, Dr. Youngblood, that Ray Epps is a part of an FBI informant. He was involved with them, and it was all, I believe, to create at least the appearance of an insurrection. When she was asked the question, does he work for the FBI as an informant? And she said, I can't answer that. Then that means the answer is, yes, he does. Otherwise, she would have emphatically said, no, he doesn't. Where did you get that information from? But to say, I can't answer that means yes. And for Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them to ignore what is obviously happening is a sham and a brazen lie. He should have been one of those arrested, Dr. Youngblood. As you say, he was the first one in the Capitol. And before I forget, I would like to offer this, Dr. Youngblood, to you and to your audiences. We know that there are people who are sitting in those jails right now in deplorable conditions against the Constitution.
Yes.
The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution says that you are to have a speedy trial. They haven't even been charged with things yet. They haven't even had their trial. They're just sitting there in jail in deplorable conditions. And I would offer to you and to your listeners, write them a letter. Write them a letter to give them some encouragement. Some let them know that they're just not there alone, that there is someone thinking about them. They're sitting there in jail in these horrible conditions. Write and tell them that express your support for them. Express your love for them. Express your Christian concern for them.
Yes.
Let them know that they're not forgotten and just sitting there rotting in jail.
In fact, when you say horrible conditions, they're deplorable conditions where commodes are stopped up, have no running water, where they have no heating and air conditioning available to them, and where they're not allowed to cut their fingernails, they're not allowed to shave, they're not allowed to take a bath, they're not allowed to brush their teeth. They're simply put there as political prisoners, and I'm looking at an article that says even their attorneys are not allowed to go in and see them unless they first have a COVID shot, to try to prevent their attorneys from having conversation. Congressman, hold on a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment quickly.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for your broadcast. I got a question to ask you. Do you think that Jesus' trial, the people that was hollering, crucifying, crucifying, do you think they're going to go to heaven?
Most likely, in my most humble opinion, no. In fact, you understand and you read the biblical text and find out in the Synoptic Gospels that it was out of jealousy and out of a sense of retaliation that they were doing that. And Barabbas became the first substitute rather than we being placed on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was that first substitute, that is, that took the place of Barabbas and others like that. So I would say that they're lost people. And I would say, if you wanted to use an analogy, that's what we see today, where there's the scream, crucify him, crucify him, speaking of Donald Trump, and setting up the insurrection narrative to be able to do so. Tom, thank you so much for your call. We've got about 30 seconds left. Congressman Hill, take the last few minutes, few seconds, and let's wrap up with what should Christians do? How should we respond?
Dr. Youngblood, first of all, we should pray. Pray for this nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for justice. Pray for righteousness.
Yes.
Pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us in wisdom, mm-hmm. that we would know the right steps to take. Pray that things would be exposed, as we're seeing time and time again, that the lies on the left, which come from the pit of hell, will be exposed and then corrected, that righteousness will prevail in this nation.
Amen. We need to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We need to seek God. We need to confess sin and ask God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.